Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac Insu.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hello.
Do you want me to play the other one, too?
Please.
Ahoy!
Thank you. Are we on the radio?
We are on the radio.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
True story.
There is no Sook today, hence the drop ahoy version.
Yeah, he's not just mute today.
Nope.
You can't mute that sucker, can you?
No, you cannot. Once he gets going, he gets going.
That's what I love about him. Well, yeah, we press on without Sukanik today.
Yeah, he's taking the smart four-day weekend here.
Yeah, good call.
I noticed Swag is taking like a 9-day weekend and Sprague is taking a 4-day weekend. So there's a lot of smart people.
Yeah.
I'm just getting the average 3 over here.
Well, that's good too.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to use any vacation.
Well, absolutely.
And you get a 3-day weekend.
Although I haven't used nearly any vacation all year. So I need to start using it at some point.
Really? You've just been powering through these, huh?
I have.
These COVID casts.
I've taken one day.
One day. Damn, dude. Let's get you out.
I do want to take a vacation. Yeah. I have talked about that. I do want to go visit my family in August.
Yeah.
And New Jersey is allowing people from Oregon without quarantine. So
is that right?
Yeah. So I might do that.
It's interesting. I remember you had a trip out there. When was that?
That was Passover. So that was when I took the one day. I had a weekend planned to go out for Passover, and we canceled that, obviously.
And that was the right thing to do. But I would say now, I mean, with face mask and like, you know, now that we kind of know the protocol. And
New Jersey's doing great, by the way.
Yeah.
Their numbers are fantastic.
A lot of the states on out east are doing fine.
Yeah.
So maybe you should go. You know, I have to go to Kansas. This is very controversial.
Oh, is Kansas doing bad with COVID?
Well, I don't think it's doing great.
I was going to say, I haven't been checking up on the Kansas numbers.
Wait, why would you play that?
I didn't. A daily, weekly, or monthly basis. I don't think I've looked once, actually.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, you know what? Look, I just assume it's going up everywhere, but it's not. Nebraska, South Dakota, and many of the states in the Northeast are all going down.
Good.
COVID cases going down. So you want positive news? There you go.
We're going up, but...
So here's the thing. I was going to go to Vegas. You know I was going to go to Vegas?
I did know that.
Canceled. We're not going.
Smart move, probably.
Well...
That video that Arash Markazi had of nobody wearing masks at the casino was a big red flag for me.
Well, cases are spiking there, too.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you know, how much fun will it be, really? But I was still going to go. Don't get me wrong.
You do love your Vegas.
I love my Vegas. And I was going to go and just, you know, do more pool time and just social distancing and dinner here and there. You know, don't have to play cards. Don't have to be on the gaming floor. But we canceled it because my dad's having surgery July 23rd on his back. So that's out in Kansas. That's an elective surgery he's been waiting on, and he's now been able to get scheduled. So we just like punt on Vegas. We'll do that after the surgery. Maybe Labor Day weekend if it opens up. If not, then maybe next year. But I'm going to Kansas. I'm flying on an airplane.
Yeah.
To be with my dad and my mom. And
so that's only, what, a couple weeks away now?
Yeah, in a couple weeks. Yeah. And I'm glad I'm able to do it. But at the same time, it's like, you know,
are you a little uncomfortable about going?
I'm not really, but I am uncomfortable about the olds. You know, they're old.
That is in the name.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. Because I think they listen. They like the first segment.
Really?
And then they hang
and
up
then
on
they
us.
Turn it off. Yeah.
They're 78. And I want to be there. And my brother's going to be there. But at the same time, you know, this is the exact scenario where you're traveling on an airplane. And I'm going to be masked up and everything. You have to be when you travel. But you're traveling on an airplane and you get off the airplane and you don't really know. And you've been exposed to a lot of things. You've been touching all this stuff. And then you go into the old house and he's having surgery. So his immune system is, you know.
Compromised.
Right. So there's a lot going on there.
Are
that
you going
I feel
to the hospital when he's having the
he
surgery?
He can have one visitor and it will likely be me. Because my mom will just stay home and then my brother's coming in later. So it will likely be me, but I'll keep my distance until he gets home.
The big thing for
me
is,
I mean?
It's not the flying. I mean,
what
obviously
is it?
That's the fact that you're going to be going to the hospital.
Yeah.
Which is already.
Well, maybe I shouldn't.
That's what I was going to say is that I'm sure you want to be there to support him, but.
Right.
That's a place where I'd be like, oh boy. Unless you have to be there, I don't think you need to be going into any sort of.
Yeah.
Hospital/medical building right now. I know they're keeping it clean and stuff, but people could be sick there and then
that's right.
Who knows what happens.
It's pretty wild out there right now. Did you hear about this pandemic thing? It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I heard something. I thought we were doing okay, but, you know.
But it's going to be great.
I guess not.
We're going to be fine. We're going to take all the precautions, and he's going to get through it, and it's going to be a great visit. But I was saying that because, you know, you flying to New Jersey, is it that awful at this point to take all the proper precautions and hop on the plane, get out there, be smart when you're there, and you should be fine, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
because it didn't
Passover
feel like that.
Was in April, so guess what was happening in April in New Jersey? The
passing
huge
over
spike. Oh, yeah. Well, Passover still
everybody
happened.
Was,
we just did it virtually, but
were they all getting together out there?
We were just doing it virtually, but you know,
no,
was,
I'm saying in New Jersey, you said it was a spike.
Well, yeah, I mean that was
they were passing over.
Yeah, that was the original spike.
That's what they do
of COVID, and. It was just like we really wanted to make it happen, and it was just not smart at that point. And we got refunded for the flights and everything.
Yeah,
so
you were flying
fine.
Into a hot zone, and
yes.
That's not the case this time.
No, now I'm flying into one of the best zones.
Yeah.
And
a
we
cool
are not considered
zone.
A hot zone because,
yeah.
I mean, even though our cases are going up, it's not 10,000.
But even if you were going to Florida or Texas?
I would not.
Or Arizona? You wouldn't?
No.
You wouldn't travel there right now?
No. Well, it's the same reasoning as New Jersey before.
Well, if my dad was having surgery, let's just put it, you know.
Okay.
And he lives in Florida. Do I not go? I think I'm going.
It'd be super risky, though.
I'm going in there with my hazmat suit. I'm rolling.
Not only are you masked up, you're gloved up, you're wearing long-sleeve shirt, long-sleeve pants.
I got one of those welder's masks on.
You're wearing long johns underneath your pants.
I want to be there.
Double protection.
I want to be there. So I'm going to have a week in Kansas, Salina, Kansas. I'm not even staying at their house. I'm staying at a hotel. Got to be smart about that.
Okay.
You know, you got a nice new fancy hotel downtown there. I'm going to be partying in Salina.
How fancy is it?
It's going to be great. Well,
did you guys upgrade to Best Western or something?
Define fancy. You're not far off, but define fancy.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of like
what?
A clean new Hilton.
Yeah, I think it's a Marriott or a Hilton.
Okay.
Downtown there. Right next to a brewery. They have breweries there.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
That's right up my alley.
They have a water park. I don't know if it's open, but they have one.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's not open.
Should probably
and that
not
would be a terrible place to go during
and
COVID.
And then go help my dad out.
You want to go dive into a pool? With 800 of your closest friends?
I tell you what, guys. It's wild out there.
I'm tired of it now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not tired of it in terms of, like, I'm not taking precautions, but I'm just tired of it. I would like things to go back to the way they were.
Well, who isn't?
Some people are still harping on the, oh, this is fine. We can deal with this. And I'm just like, God. Let me do something, please. Anything.
Well, you can do stuff. Just be smart about it.
Yeah.
You know? Big Sook is in Pacific City. Beautiful Pacific City.
Hiya!
Oregon. That's Oregon. And there's probably going to be 1,000,000 people over there.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah. I was in Hood River last weekend, and it wasn't too busy, but it was fairly busy.
Yeah. Well, he'll be back on Monday. No show tomorrow, so we've got a lot to cram in. Now, I've got a lot of audio that has been compiled over the week that we've never gotten to, so we're going to have probably a cool Thursday COVID audio dump on your ass.
There's
today.
A lot of stuff you had me get that you didn't even come close to playing.
Totally random. No, you're right. We didn't even sniff
like you
it.
Didn't even like tease the stuff that we had.
Somebody once told me.
Didn't sniff it. So we're going to have that for you today. I saw a thread on Twitter that I could not get off of. I could not get off of it. It is so good. You know, it's been kind of a crappy 2020 if you guys are paying attention to anything.
What?
So during the 5 o'clock hour, instead of like, you know, harping on, ah, oh, COVID's up here, or ah, oh, what are they going to do with this sport there? We're going to bypass all of that. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to recreate this Twitter thread on the air, and it's going to be great. You're going to love it. And I'm not going to tell you anything more.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. It'll take your mind off things. That'll okay. be in the 5 o'clock hour.
So it's nothing to do with anything serious.
No, it's just cool. Fun. Love it. Love this stuff. Okay. Absolutely love
cool,
this stuff.
Cool, fun. Rop loves it. That's
cool,
the tease
fun,
we're getting.
1 hour of awesomeness.
A Twitter thread.
And yeah, it's going to be great. Now, I also have in other take your mind off things news, which is kind of what we're here for. I've got a food study, a sports food poll. Did you see this on The Athletic?
I did not.
Tremendous. We finally find out what percentage of people put ketchup on a hot dog today.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get to that at 4. Or at least that's where I have
it. That's a very hot take. The people hate ketchup.
Oh, Mama Rop's listening. The Salina Water Park officially closed.
Hmm. Not surprised, but maybe a little surprised?
Why?
I don't know. You think Kansas might just try to push through this a little bit?
No, they've got a mask order out there. They have a damn snowflake governor there now.
Right. Those liberals.
Stupid libs.
Being safe.
Right. Yeah, they got a mask order and everything. By the way, I got a call from the kid freaking out yesterday.
Because he's still in Kansas, right?
Hey, I got some weird news. Yeah, he's out there. He's never come back.
Are you going to see him when you go?
Well, maybe.
Maybe not.
He says, oh, my God. Friends of mine were at Starbucks. They work at Starbucks, and one of their coworkers has it. And they were exposed. You know I'm exposed. We're all going to die.
Did you say it with that voice? As you cough.
No. He was cool about it. But, yeah, so he's got to go get tested now. But he's fine. He's no symptoms.
So does that? So if anybody was even close to being exposed, did he get someone reach out to him to have him get tested? Or is he getting tested just on his own?
You mean like the contact tracing?
Yeah.
You know, you would think, but no. Okay. They're a little behind. I feel like that doesn't work. I feel like they try. I mean, it works.
I'm sure they're trying, yeah.
But I just don't know if we have the manpower. And people don't. You know, we're Americans. We don't want to be bothered.
Also, people will
don't
lie.
Don't call me. people will lie, for sure. So
I wasn't there.
So I don't...
What are you
is,
talking about?
The most fascinating thing to me is, and this has happened on two different occasions that I know of in my little world, and it's the youngs that are doing it, but... They're getting symptoms. They are getting sick, physically sick, where they have the symptoms, no matter how severe, and they go to work. What is that? Don't do that. It doesn't matter if you think you have a cold or if you think you have allergies or if you think you have the flu, you might have COVID. Doesn't matter what you think you have. The most obvious thing in all of this is once you get any sort of symptom, quarantine yourself. Right?
Until you find out. Am I crazy?
No,
you're not crazy. I think there's probably layers to that for people who need the money to live.
No, that I get.
And they probably don't have COVID and I really need to pay my rent this month and I need this paycheck.
I get that, but they're going to find out they have, like these kids went to Starbucks and started working. They found out they had COVID. So now they can't go anyway.
Right.
And now the only thing you've done is you've risked other people's health. And so his friends.
I just heard that a lot of companies are not being very kind with giving you the sick days unless you test positive and have a proof of testing positive. They're like, you're not getting 14.
Well, I hope that's not the case. But anyway, these kids were all sniffling and coughing and fevery.
And they went to work.
Yeah, and they went to work. Mm. But they were masked up, and it sounds like the other three kids that were exposed, including my kid that could have been third hand, no symptoms. So they're doing good. And they're 7 or 8 days out now, so... Feeling pretty good about that.
Still got a week to go, though, till the end of that 14-day incubation period.
Yeah. Was it Joe that was just in there saying, who was he saying in his family? Was like, yeah, no, it's the 12th day. That's the day. 12th day. Like, day 12. Oh, got symptoms.
Yeah, I remember reading an article a week ago that said it was the third day. So, again, we don't know anything.
Good times. All right. Well, let's get going, shall we? College football. There was an interesting article on ESPN today about some of the pitfalls of the college football season. And we'll get to talking about whether or not we'll have football. Coming up next, it's 3:15 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's me, Rob, Mike Lynch, in his usual captain's chair over there. Big Sook is out today, getting some well-deserved time off, enjoying time in beautiful Pacific City, Oregon.
I believe his brother is joining him as well.
Oh, so he's out there too.
I think he's leaving tonight versus yesterday, but yeah, he's going out there as well.
The Sukanic clan.
Yeah.
You know, the powers that be, whether it be sports or otherwise, lie to us so often that it almost makes you wonder if you ever got to that perch, if you would just be an incessant liar as well. We will get to that in our next segment.
Okay.
But I shouldn't be blown away, but I am. I'm never blown away by POTUS. Every time somebody says unbelievable, I say, is it? Because Sook says that all the time.
Oh, like, really? Sometimes it is truly unbelievable.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. This guy, though, Rob Manfred, this chump that's in charge of Major League Baseball.
This commissioner that we all thought was really good until last year, and now all of a sudden he's the worst commissioner to ever exist.
God, he's a liar. And we will get to that. But our poll question today at 1080thefan.com. As always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. And we're simply asking you how you feel about one thing. And that is, will we have football this fall? Yes, thumbs up. No, thumbs down. Vote at 1080thefan.com.
Now, talk about a difficult question.
And you must answer it right now. Or
my answer is no.
Or you die.
My answer is no. And I really don't want that to be the case. And I think of all the sports, football has enough bravado to push through this and say, screw COVID, we're going to play anyway. But you're starting to see more and more little ripples in the water trending towards the no. The South Carolina governor coming out and saying, if COVID doesn't slow down, I'm not allowing college sports in the state. You had the Pac-12 make their statement today in the John Wilner article talking about how not all schools will play. You had USC come out and say that they're reversing course and probably won't have students on campus, which means probably no football. You're seeing this all across the country, and it's still July, and it's early July, and you still have 2 months until the college football season would have started. But, and I know these things change rapidly, and I know that we've seen massive changes in numbers over the course of a week, and it's still a long way away. But I just do not understand how you can safely play football this year. And I thought they might push through it, and I'd be entertained by it just like everybody else, and I would just, you know, do some sort of mental gymnastics about the safety of it because I want to watch my football. But in reality, how is this possible?
I feel like
college football and the NFL are going to see some sort of failure from the NBA, NHL, or MLB and go, oh boy.
Dude, I think that's a good point about those leagues. How those leagues go is enormous.
Yep.
Because if the NBA can't get it done, I feel like the NBA has done a pretty good job of doing this as tight as they possibly can, to the point where if they can't finish or something happens with them, yeah, good luck to anything after that, right? NFL and college football are going to need Major League Baseball and the NBA to go as smoothly as possible in order to even consider starting. What Larry Scott said today of the Pac-12 network was essentially what everyone is saying, and that is that it looked optimistic 3 weeks ago, and now we are not as optimistic because S be getting real, yo. That's a quote.
That's what he said. Wow, yeah. Look at him really trying to get in touch with the kids from his $40 million penthouse in San Francisco.
Everyone's outlook, he said, has changed because of the extent to which restarting the economy and loosening restrictions has led to significant outbreaks. So nobody really knows. You're just kind of trying to be as nimble as you can. I think what they're trying to do is plan as the wind blows, you know, and that's what you got to do. They said that they have basically four solid models for playing football. One is playing all 12 games as scheduled. The second is a delayed start. The third is a conference only schedule. And then the fourth is moving the season to the spring. His quote is, we could turn on a dime because of all the legwork we've put in. So, you know, look, if they can play it, they will.
Yes.
Because they need the money. But the nature of football is just so different than certainly baseball. And like we're up here watching golf. In basketball, kind of falls more toward the football category because you just have such up close
proximity of players.
Yeah, contact. And that's what that's how they're saying this thing is spread is, you know, when you're indoors and you are around people for an extended period of time, breathing and sweating and doing, you know, whatever it is you do when you play it in the NBA on other guys.
I feel like breathing and sweating is a pretty good way to put that. Yeah.
Other things that they do. Yeah,
spitting, I guess.
That is the quintessential way this disease they're finding is spread. Outdoors minimizes it greatly, you know, and then socially distancing minimizes it even more. And then,
wearing,
you know,
the mask.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's why I think golf is doing fine. I think it's interesting that soccer is sort of doing fine overseas.
I haven't heard a lot of news about players testing positive out in the European leagues.
But then did you see in MLS, they all have gotten to Orlando to get ready for their season, which is supposed to start next week. And six guys got it, which doesn't seem like a lot, but they're all on the same team.
Yeah.
Which is, this is the point, because they've only, I imagine they've only just been practicing with one another. And that's the whole idea. You had one guy who had it, caught it. And when they're in that close of proximity, practicing with one another or doing whatever, playing ping pong, hopefully singles.
Oh, they're going to play doubles. You know it.
then it spreads. So it's just hard. ESPN had an article today, which I thought was really good, where they brought up Kansas State, and they kind of went through, they talked to all of the, you know, a lot of the coaches and administrators, but mainly coaches about how they're handling this, because you don't often hear from them. They're trying to figure this out on the fly, and it's still really new because kids are back on most campuses. Now, I think Oklahoma was one that delayed their individual workout start till July 1. So they just have only been doing this for a couple of days. Other schools,
and they had 14 positive tests, by the way.
Oklahoma did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as other schools you've heard, Clemson has like 37.
LSU had 20 something.
So that's where we're at. And these coaches are trying to figure out how to, you know, how to proceed. It's all very new for everyone, and you don't really hear a lot from the coaches yet. Well, ESPN did an article where they talked to a lot of coaches, and I thought it was interesting to talk about some of the pitfalls that they are thinking about. So Kansas State brought their kids back, and they tested 90 players, and all 90 were negative. So they talked to their coach, and the coach is like, well, hey, you know, we all get back, and everybody's pretty optimistic at this point because nobody tests positive. The numbers are going down nationally, and boom, within 7 days, they had 14 positives. So he said all 90 kids, you know, they're not quarantined. They're not in a bubble. So they all test negative. Well, they're going out to the lake, or they're going out partying with their friends and doing whatever. Well, 7 days later, 14 have tested positive. And that's the problem with this, is that, you know, you can't wrap them in bubble wrap. And the second one guy gets it, because of the nature of football, you just wonder how it's going to spread throughout the team and how they can handle that. So here's how coaches have said they are sort of approaching it. We don't know what's going to happen once they start fully practicing. Right now, they're just doing individual workouts. But coaches, they said, are going to have to keep their best players apart during practice. You can't have your best offensive lineman going toe-to-toe with your best pass rusher, because if they come in close proximity with one another and one of them happens to have it, the other gets it, they're both out. So coaches are going to be strategic about how they practice, who practices against who, and so on. Like one coach said that he was toying with the idea of his first unit going up against his third unit and his second unit going up against his walk-ons. I mean, I don't know, if I were a coach, I may look at it and go, well, my first unit's getting spread out over all four units is what I'm doing. I'm not playing units. I'm keeping a lot of these guys, you know, separate from one another. Some kids are going to have to learn new positions in order to be able to slide over if one position group gets hit hard by COVID. One coach, I think it might have been Saban, said, hey, what do you do if you've got four quarterbacks in your quarterback room and somehow it got in there? Yeah, no quarterback. Right. What are you going to do? Go right. Get a DB to, you know.
Play the Wildcat.
So it's just, these are the kinds of things that coaches are thinking about. Are they going to have to wear masks on the sideline? Are they going to have shields? Think, from what I read, that college football is throwing maybe some ER doc type of shield that coaches may have to wear.
I've seen like some restaurant workers wearing that too, which is super disconcerting when you see that. You're like, I shouldn't be eating here if you're wearing that, huh?
And you see the guy in the welding mask?
Yeah.
Always love that. So resourceful.
Yeah. Hey, it's covered.
He had that thing hanging out there in the garage for years. I'll just throw this on him.
Yeah, how often has he used that? Maybe once. He bought it for one project and it's just been hanging there. Now he's like, I don't need to buy a mask.
That does seem like a one project purchase.
Yeah.
So, these are the kinds of things they got to worry about. And it's just weird. The timing of the test results is going to be a big issue. This is interesting. So when I was telling you about a friend of mine's daughter's boyfriend, who got it from work, they went through a drive-thru in Gresham and got tested and had a call within an hour. Not every place, particularly some of these rural college towns, have that. So testing, particularly at the college level where they're not getting the latest and greatest tests like the pro leagues, the timing of the test results is a big issue. It can take 4 to 5 days to get results. So how do you handle that when you play a game or are scheduled to play a game every 7 days? And then if two schools have different standards of testing for a non-conference game, is one team uncomfortable playing the other team because they haven't tested as well? Is that game canceled? So there's just all of these little things. And then there's the obvious of how many players down can a team go before they reconsider playing a game? Or like if Clemson had to play now, how good is Clemson? They have 37 guys with COVID.
Right.
You know, or do they have to play?
37 guys they have that are sick.
Sure.
But
do they have to play that game? Or what's the number where you say, we'll sit this one out? Is it going to be a season?
And then it's a forfeit, right?
Yeah, I think they're talking about forfeits being a real thing. Is it going to be a season where some teams play 7 games and other teams are lucky enough to have played 12? I don't know. Will the players ultimately play? I mean, if I were a player, I don't know. I don't think it would be a given that I'd play. How many will bail? So that's where we're at with college football, especially. It's like, oh boy.
I just don't see how you could, in good faith, play a football season right now. Right now, if football had to start right now, it would not be starting. And that could change, but it's not trending that way.
Well, we'll see. They got a couple months, although it's probably going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. Famous words from a very famous man.
Also, the second wave is supposed to be like in November, right? So,
well, there's that.
If we ever actually left the first wave, I guess.
Let's not focus on that. You know what I want to focus on? Liars.
Oh, okay.
Rob Manfred.
Rob Manfred's up to some weird tricks
this year.
This
guy, he's so full of it, it's unbelievable. And we'll get to that next. You hear what he said? You're going to be stunned what he said now and what he's trying to say. And he's obviously, he's come out with some quotes that he's trying to walk this back, but I don't think he can. We'll get to that next. 3:32 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Big Souk is out today. It is Robin Lynch. I've got coming up next, I want to talk about hot delivery talk. I am a
pizza delivery, delivery?
Package. Yeah, man. Like that's, well, with COVID, it's become a thing, but we just moved into a new, an old house that's been remodeled. So we've had just 8,000 deliveries over the last couple of months, as probably many people have with
the
pandemic.
When you move into a house, it's like, hey, 5 packages every day.
And I just need to give some love to these bros that are plowing through this pandemic and they're throwing on their mask and they are delivering hundreds of packages every single day. UPS, FedEx, Amazon. Amazing. Amazing system. Unbelievable. And damn it, Mike, we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
But first, Rob Manfred, you know, this dingleberry drives me nuts. I used to like him. I thought he was good.
I think we have a drop for this.
He is a 5-star douche magoo.
Dude, he's the worst. And by the way.
Worse than Bud Selig?
Ooh. I tell you what, I do think he's worse than Bud Selig, yes. I think Bud Selig,
let's not forget the steroids.
Just as any commissioner does, And being a commissioner of these pro sports leagues is very difficult. You're going to have highs and lows, good and bad. Your legacy is always going to be mixed because it's a very difficult job. So, I mean, it's like, give me one that is universally loved. There's always people that are like, oh, like I know Paul Tagliabue gets a lot of love. He was a little before my time, but
I think you also love them more once they're gone.
That's probably true. I mean,
because people used to hate David Stern, and now people are like, oh, David Stern did some good things.
No, that's true. I think David Stern was a good commissioner, but that's very mixed too.
Yeah.
And I think Adam Silver is doing a great job. And I really thought Rob Manfred was a little bit like Adam Silver when he, you know, in his first several years on the job. I thought he was, you know, kind of
progressive.
Yeah.
Felt like he was,
yeah,
he was down with changing the sport.
That's right.
For the better.
Bringing it along.
But wanted to also keep some of the traditions around. He seemed like a good kind of mix of everything.
But boy, was I wrong.
We were wrong.
I think that he is writing his legacy right now. I believe that in this unprecedented time of a global pandemic, Rob Manfred is writing his legacy. I don't think he'll live this down because I think there is going to be a work stoppage the next CBA, which is just, what, a year and a half, 2 years away. He said, Rob Manfred, so baseball has finally agreed to a 60-game season. Let me recap. If you don't know what's been going on with baseball and its players, it's very simple. They originally agreed.
It's very simple. They hate each other.
That's really what it is. They originally agreed to 100% prorated salaries. In other words, no matter how many games they played, the players would just get a full prorate of their full salary, right? And both sides agreed to that. The owners walked that back because they did the math, and they can get a lot of money off their TV deals. But if there are no fans in the stands, there comes a number of games where they look and they say, we're going to start to lose money after X number of games. Well, it sounds like through reports that that number is anywhere between 48 and 60 games. Once they play more than that, the owners are now losing money because they are not bringing in revenue from concessions and gate and such. So the owners reneged on the full prorated and said, no. Times are tough. We need you to take more of a pay cut. And the owners and the players are saying, well, wait a minute. When times are great, you don't share more of the profits with us. So they were saying, no, this is what we agreed to. It spun out of control. They absolutely hate each other. The players think that the owners were negotiating in bad faith, which they were, and they're going to file a grievance. It's getting ugly, and it's only going to get worse the next CBA. Get ready. There is going to be a work stop.
Right. After next season is when the CBA is up. And so 2022 might be a strike.
Absolutely.
And by might, I mean almost certainly.
Strike or a lockout, one of the two. So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But that's really what happened. And the players just did not move. They're saying, no, you agreed to 100% prorated salary. So therefore, that's what we want no matter how many games we play. Well, they fought and fought and fought and fought. And now we get to the point where they settled on 60 games. And this has been going on for months. There were times when we didn't think they would even agree on anything. It was that bad. Now, Rob Manfred comes out, the commissioner of baseball, and says the following today. He says, quote, the reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went or any other factor. This is from a radio show. Unbelievable. Total lie. Total lie. And the reason that's a lie is because I remember having a sports radio show when we're talking about this. They were targeting July 4th as a start date.
Yep.
And if they start July 4th, they can play way more than 60 games. So he is full of absolute S. Then he goes on. He says, I think this is the one thing we come back to every single day. We're trying to manage something that has proven to be unpredictable and unmanageable. I know it hasn't looked particularly pretty in spots. But having said that, if we can pull off this 60-game season, I think it was the best we were going to do for our fans, given the course of the virus. It's the calendar. We're playing 60 games in 63 days right now. I don't see, given the reality of the health situation over the past few weeks, how we were going to get going any faster than the calendar we're on right now, no matter what the state of those negotiations were.
Oh, shut up.
Which is like total hindsight. Like, you didn't know this when you were negotiating back in whatever.
April, May.
Yeah, I guess it was. I guess it was all the way back in April.
Yeah, I mean, look, the way I look at it is this. Is 60 games probably the best case scenario? Maybe, because it means less games and less spread of the virus if you're talking about it that way. But you could have come to an agreement on the original 82-game thing that you already agreed to do and done that. And maybe it would have been canceled or shortened or whatever because of the virus, and that might still happen anyway. But no, 60 games was not always the most obvious choice.
And he knows that. And he's lying. And then today he walked that. So he was on that radio show. He says that everybody, you know, this blows up. Now he's walking it back. Here is what he said later today. He said, my point was that no matter what happened with the union, the way things unfolded with the second spike of coronavirus, we would have ended up with only time for 60 games anyway. As time went on, it became clearer and clearer that the course of the virus was going to dictate how many games we would play. As it turned out, the reality was there was only time to play 60 games. If we had started an 82-game season beginning July 1, we would have had people in Arizona and Florida at the time the second spike hit. So he's basically saying, we knew this all along that this would happen, which is such crap. No.
Look,
my question to you guys is, does it happen so much to us that we just get lied to and lied to and lied to so much that we don't really care anymore? Just roll our eyes?
No, because I'm not rolling my eyes because I'm frustrated because the reality of the situation, Rob, pull a Trevor Bauer right here and just start throwing his name into my tweets, is that you did what looks like irreparable damage to your relationship with the players 2 years ahead of a CBA deal that needs to be made because you went to the 60-game route and wouldn't budge off of it. This wasn't always going to be the case because of COVID. No, you already agreed to 82 with the players. And then you reverse course and you did damage, and now you're just like, oh, no, this was all COVID's fault. No, this is your fault, and this is the owner's fault. So, no, I don't roll my eyes at this. I still get frustrated when you see them lie. For sure.
It's crazy. Crazy to me.
Especially when it's a sport you love. Like for me, I mean, baseball is my baby. It's my favorite. This frustrates me.
Well, the owners absolutely got torched in this negotiation. And I understand why. They're going to lose a lot of money, and they have trepidation about that. But, boy, did they botch this. And now Rob Manfred is screwing it up even further. You know, it'd be best if he just came out and said, look, this is ugly. This is unprecedented. What's going on? I think, you know, everybody's tense and it got out of hand, and that's my fault, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to try to work the two sides back together for the next CBA. If he said that, I would have more respect for him than this BS, because he set up a better case for the players when they file a grievance and it goes to court that the owners are negotiating in bad faith. Well, if it was 60 games all along, that's bad faith.
Yeah.
And the players are going to win.
Yeah.
So, what a mess. I don't know if baseball is going to happen. Who knows if any of this stuff is going to happen. But boy, and I love the sport. I'll watch it when they play. But boy, have they screwed this up. And I'm telling you, is it next year or the year after the new CBA?
The year after. Next year is the final year of the current CBA, and that's when the negotiations will begin, I imagine. But I think it's after next season is when you'd have to have a new CBA.
The after next season negotiations is going to get hairy because of stuff like this. Manfred, terrible, absolutely terrible commissioner.
And I will say the answer to your original question of when you get into this position, do you just become an incessant liar? Yeah. I feel like in some ways you have to because you're not your own boss, right? The owners are your boss. So you are relaying a message from all 30 owners and you have to kind of twist and turn and, you know, kind of work your way through what they all want you to say. Plus, I just feel like you try to protect the image more than anything.
Well, you knew they'd blame
Sometimes the truth is way worse than a lie if you want to protect the image and people are dumb enough to believe it.
Well, you knew they'd blame it on COVID. You just knew that they would.
Well, and there is some blame, of course.
Yes, but no.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no. You should have started sooner.
That's why they used it, though, as an excuse, because of course you can blame COVID, because it's caused a huge rift in everything in our lives.
That's right.
But, you know. It's on you.
All right. Well, anyway, lies, lies, lies. Okay. Let's talk about deliveries. I'm gonna talk about deliveries.
Let's do it.
Packages. You Amazon bros, you guys are unbelievable. And what is it when they roll? You know how you can track it now? Like you can track your packages
on my app. It'll tell me like you're 8 stops away from getting your package. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool.
There are some where you can see exactly where the truck is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Super cool. Let's talk about that next to wrap up the hour. 3:47 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's read some text here. 55305. Talk some delivery. Hot delivery talk.
503-250-1080.
Oh, wait, what did I say?
55305.
55305. No.
That's the old number.
503-250. 55305.
503-250-1080. 1080.
Phone number. You guys are hilarious. My gosh, it's going to get worse before it gets better. These young football players maybe shouldn't play. Then, I sure love getting deliveries of food and merchandise for my personal consumption. Hope these delivery people stay safe for me. Yeah, okay, fair point. But yeah,
I think there's a little bit of a difference between, you know, sweaty men tackling each other on a football field and a delivery person by himself in a truck leaving a package at your door.
Well, I would say, well, there's that. Yeah, that's a good point. I would also say that, you know, right now, these delivery guys and gals that are out there are somewhat essential. You know, like this is how commerce is happening right now.
Yeah.
They have to be out there.
It's not as if the need for goods has gone away because
and
the stores
are
all
getting
closed.
Groceries and stuff through through that.
And well, like food deliveries like Grubhub and Postmates and stuff like that.
So I would say one retort to that would be sports. You know, we don't need our football.
Look, no.
It should be safe if they're going to play it. You know, these guys getting out there and delivering our goods, man. We got to give them shout outs. You know, the Amazon bros and broettes. And the UPS bros and broettes and the FedEx bros and broettes and definitely the USPS bros and broettes, our mailmen and mailwomen. You guys are all great. And I swear
all
to God.
All you on-track people that I see maybe once every month. I don't know.
What's that?
It's another delivery service. On-track.
Never heard of it.
Do you remember DHL? Where did that go?
Yeah, yeah. DHL.
The big yellow trucks. I haven't seen those in years.
No. But you know what, man? This is amazing to sit and watch these guys. And, we moved to a house that's, you know, there's pretty busy streets right around it. And I just sit and watch. And oh my God, they are up and down and back and forth and 2, 3, 4 times a day.
You want to know how I know you're getting old? You sit and watch the delivery trucks drive down the busy street next to your house.
Well, it's just, they're just always out there. And it's like, it's just awesome, man. Like I was reading that because my wife and I were talking about it. And I was like, how many packages do you think these guys deliver every day? And so I kind of looked it up, and there's, you know, obviously it varies, but they're saying that these guys and gals are out there in those trucks delivering 300 to 350 packages per day.
And I think that their shifts can go up to 12 to 14 hours sometimes, because I think you're allowed to deliver all the way, at least for some of them, you're allowed to deliver until like 9 p.m. So
it's crazy.
You got a lot of packages and you got to get them done. You might be out there for a while. So bravo on you guys.
Yeah, dude. And what's cool now is you can, like, this is just amazing. Like I never really ordered much stuff before, you know, this year, really, for various reasons. One, the pandemic, and two, new house, ordering different things that you need. So I've been on Amazon and returning crap all the time. They make it so effing easy. It is so easy now. And you can track your packages. I think it's awesome to like get on there and track and be like, oh, I think that's coming today. And then you look at it and it will tell you exactly where the truck is. And the truck could be like, it could be literally 2 blocks from your house and it won't get there for another 8 hours.
Yeah,
he's running around dropping packages elsewhere.
I had that experience with one of my packages recently where the truck was literally on the street next to my house. And the delivery prediction time was like 10 hours in the future. And I was like,
yeah,
but he's right.
You're right there.
He's
Can
right
I
there.
Just go in your truck and grab my.
Please? Hello?
That's crazy.
I guess there's some efficiency to it. I have no idea what the system looks like in the background. Can you imagine the algorithm that goes into that?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Right.
But, like, it was also funny because I kept tracking it throughout the day because I came to work and the package hadn't gotten there yet, and I just had it up on my phone. And that truck didn't really leave the neighborhood. It just kept going in, like, weird different directions all around
back,
the neighborhood.
And up and back and up and back. And he's
and
dropping
like,
off.
Why is that the route? Why is that the algorithm?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Do any drivers out there ever get confused about the way that your route's going, or you just turn your brain off and follow the GPS?
Yeah, you drivers, is it efficient or is it like super inefficient? Because it feels like it. I mean, it's great. Like we get our stuff fast and all hours of the day. Like you get stuff, you know, as late as 8 o'clock at night now.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of seems like, well, wait a minute, there he goes again. I just want to get my stuff.
Yeah. You'll also see like 3 FedEx trucks before you see the one that actually delivers yours. You're like, what? What is happening?
So text 503-250-1080.
I did have one bad delivery experience since COVID has started. And it wasn't, you know, over the top bad or anything. But the original delivery date was on a Monday. And I got an email from both FedEx and it was a Best Buy thing. And from Best Buy that says, oh, congratulations, your delivery moved up 3 days. And it was supposed to come on Friday instead. Hmm. And I started tracking it, right? I signed up for the UPS My Choice thing and you could track where it is. And on Friday at 11:30 a.m., it said, checked into Portland, Oregon. I was like, it's coming. I checked again later that day because I was like, oh, it'll be there. And then it said 11, it was like 11:35 check-in, 11:36 checked out. And I was like, Well, that seems a little fast. Mm. And then it said 3:30 checked into Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah,
and I went,
I had that too.
What?
They forgot it or they missed it.
Well, I guess they missed it or it went. I was like, wait, but you said Friday and now it's in Tacoma.
Yeah.
And then it wound up coming on Monday anyway.
Right.
It sat in Tacoma for 2 days.
I had that
and
too.
And then came back down and I was like, but you said Friday. It was here. Yeah. It was in Portland.
Somebody put it on the wrong truck or something.
What happened?
Yeah. That happens.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3 days. It was fine. But in the moment, I was like, but
you just went right through my.
Yeah, but
I live over here.
But Tacoma is not here.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, man. That I think they do a great job. And they're always really super nice, whether it be UPS or the Amazon guys. They're always great. So you guys, we love you. You're being noticed. Dickard works for UPS. He texts. He says, hey, thanks for the kind words. At UPS, it's been like a four-month Christmas season.
Oh boy.
But there's no Christmas day at the end of the tunnel to look forward to. He goes, absolutely terrible. Yeah. No, it's like it's a thankless job, kind of. But I, for one, have noticed. I mean, it's a big deal. You guys should get paid more. I tell Bezos to share some of that money. Pay you guys.
I do think that, I don't know about Amazon, but I do think that UPS and FedEx, if you do really well, I think you can get paid pretty well as a delivery driver.
Well, they should. 300, and you know, they're lifting some heavy ass stuff too. You know, 300 packages a day, that ain't easy.
Do you think every time they get to a small one, they're like, oh, thank God.
I do think that.
It's like,
yes.
Oh, I can just very easily run this up here.
I think they run to the back and they're like, please be small, please be small, please be small. And then they're like, oh God. Giant mirror, you know.
Sook's getting his haunted mirror delivered, and it's like, oh.
They probably hate our house. We've had all kinds of furniture and couches and stuff delivered. They're like, God.
Do you have like a little staircase that goes up to your front door so they have to actually bring it up the stairs?
No, super easy delivery.
That's good.
It costs a day, Rob. Okay, I've got some more texts. A lot of texts coming in on this. I'm going to read some. I'm going to read some to you guys. I'm going to text it out coming up next. And then I've got a sports food poll question. We'll finally figure out, or not poll question, it's a survey, and we have the results of the survey. The Athletic is the one that did it. We'll finally find out how many people put ketchup on their hot dogs. And by the way, I'm guilty of that. I like ketchup on my hot dog. I have no problem with it. You too? Okay, good. Some people think it's taboo, but to them I say screw them. We'll get to all of that and in the news next hour on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.